Thursday night, baby. That means Friday is coming. Glad to have you with us. Hearing from some new people on Twitter and Facebook. But this is kind of funny. I suppose at some point very soon, I will have people asking me whether or not these are real accounts or fake accounts, because the blue check marks on Twitter are gone. Now, as best I can tell, our blue check mark on Facebook is safe, but you never know. I wouldn't put anything past Meta. So for now, we still have a verified blue check mark on Facebook, but both of our verified check marks on Twitter are gone. Did you all see, I don't follow Elon Musk, but it popped up in my feed earlier when I logged in. Just the, you know how on one side now you get that, there's two categories, right? You can either see tweets from the people you're following, or when you open up Twitter these days, whether you like it or not, they have a category entitled For You, meaning based on your personal algorithm or what they think you're interested in, they'll show you tweets. And so often it's not stuff I'm interested in. Anyway, so Elon Musk and his tweet was over there in the For You section. And it was not that long ago, just a few hours ago, actually, in which he tweeted this: such a great day in so many ways. Now, I'm assuming that he's mostly referring to his Starship liftoff, Starship Supersonic. This is SpaceX's company. First fully integrated Starship lifting off for the first time. Okay. And he got a whole bunch of photos, even a video actually that's been seen, 2.6 million times. So yeah, that was, I hope, the biggest thing about his day. But then this is the day that the check marks have all been removed. Unless you're paying. And so I actually got this tweet from a guy, and I don't know who it was. I'm not going to go back and look, but some listener, someone who follows me, who criticized me and other public figures for not paying. I'm like, what? I just sound like a Valley Girl there. I'm like, why the heck would I pay extra for social media to tell me I'm legit? I don't care.
You know who you are.
I know who I am. I don't need social media to tell me who I am or to confirm that I am legitimate or that I am who I say I am, verified. Yeah, no, you can keep your money and your blue check mark. Honestly, if anyone wants to impersonate me, feel free. And you can have all the followers too. And then you'll have to make up fake stories about Grammy Helen and Penny, because that's what makes me real. I don't even think anyone could begin to impersonate me. You could try, but it would be a really weak attempt. I can tell you that right now, because nobody knows how my brain works. So yes, the blue check marks are gone. And I don't know if you look at the homepage. Jay, have you checked out the After Hours CBS homepage?
Yeah.
It looks naked.
I was just going to say
that.
It does.
It looks naked.
Yeah.
You may not know. Let's just say you tuned in and you didn't realize the blue check mark was gone. Even before it dawned on you, it does in fact look like something's missing.
It's very, very like somber even.
Okay, let's not be melodramatic, okay?
No, you don't think so?
No, I don't think so. In fact, to celebrate the day, I changed my Twitter avatar. And this is all I'm going to tell you. It is my favorite photo from hiking the Grand Canyon. My favorite photo of me. I have many of photos of the canyon, some of which I've already shared on Twitter and Facebook. But I decided to celebrate my newfound liberty from the Blue Checkmark Brigade. For those of you who don't know, it was actually CBS Sports Radio that gave us the blue check marks. I didn't have the first clue how to get verified, nor was I really concerned about it. And in year number one with the network, we had people asking, where's your blue check mark? Where's your blue check mark? And I didn't have one, but the company, I think it was a couple years in, actually, the company decided that they would go ahead, and I don't know if they paid for them or if you had to register or apply in some particular way, and corporate accounts were given more of priority, and then they would go ahead and they'd go through and they'd check your credentials, and if you were a public figure, they would give you the blue check mark. But I'm not sure it means all that much, really. It just would indicate to people that you were who you said you were. Now, here's what's happening these days. People are paying the $8 per month, I think it is. And if they have 12 or 13 followers, they have a blue check mark. Jay's actually been duped, so I kind of feel bad. Jay was duped by a college student with a blue check mark, and he kind of assumed that that college student was a professional journalist, and so booked him on the show, and honest mistake, it's fine. But then I went and looked at his credentials, and I'm like, Jay, do you know this is a college kid? And so, yeah, we kind of had to politely back out of that. I'm just not in the market of having college kids as guests on the radio show. Pivot. Yeah, we did a quick pivot. Anyway, I don't care, but I do think the page looks funny now when you're checking it out. So, yeah, if you haven't seen my page lately, in honor of losing my blue check mark, being set free from the blue check mark brigade, I put up a photo of the Grand Canyon, one that I haven't shared anywhere else before. And it's actually my hiking partner, Casey, was taking the photos. So we had an agreement. I would take photos of her. She would take photos of me so that we would have some that weren't selfies. And the photo that she took, I absolutely love. It's cool. It was such a great day. And I love that photo. So if you can check it out, it's my new avatar. So see, not all bad. The blue check mark is unnecessary. And I'm definitely not paying extra to be classified as legit, I'm using my air quotations, by social media. It doesn't mean that much to me. If you guys listen to me long enough, you'll hear me say that the second I'm done in this business, I'm deleting all of my social media and never opening them up again. I know. It's toxic, especially if you're a public figure. It's toxic. Granted, there are many people, many of you who are kind and supportive, but it's... Even then, it's people I don't know. And so I don't think validation should come from people who listen to my radio show. No, I mean, it's still not social and it's not media. And we are required to have multiple socials. But when I'm done in this business, I can't imagine I'll ever use social media again. I have seen more and more that people who work in sports broadcasting are taking to Insta. So I was actually thinking, Jay, should we ask people whether, I don't know how I can manage another social media account, but I suppose we could link them. I've just seen a lot of, for instance, NFL reporters who are starting to use Instagram more than these other two to share their information. Do you think it would behoove us or benefit us at all to have an Instagram account? Don't you have an Instagram account?
I do, but I don't.
How much time do you spend on it?
Like my other social medias, I don't really particularly use it.
I thought you looked at stuff on it.
Yeah, I'm more of like a ghost follower, if you will. But for Instagram, though, can you make like polls or stuff on there?
I have no idea. I've never been on Instagram.
Yeah, I'm not sure what we would post.
Not even sure I've ever really looked at Instagram.
It's just like photos and videos.
But you can post photos and videos of news, right? And I've seen before where there are places where Twitter and Instagram are, oh, maybe not Twitter, Facebook and Instagram are linked, right? Because they're the same thing.
Yeah.
Doesn't Meta own Insta?
Yes.
Meta owns Insta. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like at this point we already have so much social, we can barely keep up with it. For instance, our YouTube channel, when was the last time we were able to post something there? So it's got to be, I guess during March Madness, we had a new video. And at some point, we'll coordinate a new Chubby Bunny Championship. So we'll do that. But we go long stretches without even having time to look at YouTube, much less adding another social media.
I guess the benefit I could see of Instagram would be to add the links to like interviews or the podcast there, which you could put the link in the description and just like a photo of after hours or like, you know, whatever interview we had.
Well, you let me know if you think it's worth it, because I can't. I'm already doing I do multiple hours per day on social. I don't think I can do any more. But if you think it's worth it, do I trust Jay with a social media account that is linked to me?
Hmm.
I don't know. Do you spell check? Because sometimes you don't spell correctly.
Oh, I don't even use spell correct. Yeah, autocorrect.
Oh, no. Never mind. That's a negative ghostwriter. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. On Twitter, Facebook, you know where to find us. If you don't, well, you can't look for blue check marks anymore. Eddie is listening in the Bay Area. Eddie, what do you think about the Warriors?
I think that the Warriors are going to win in six. But before we get into that, we have talked, you and I, maybe four or five times, okay? I want to tell you a quick little story.
I'll take your word for it.
About 12, 13 years ago,
whoa,
I lost my job. I was listening to, I had to move in with the in-laws. I had a four-year-old and a one-year-old son.
Aww.
And I was sitting in my car every night listening to DA on the Mothership and Mraz. And one night I go to my car and all of a sudden they're gone and there you are. And I'll never forget it. And I loved you from the start. I know you took a lot of slack and a lot of heat in the beginning.
That's 25 years of my career, Eddie. Nothing new.
That sucks. I'm sorry about that. And I forgive you. And I do want to validate you because I think you're awesome. And you know that. And I don't even have to tell you that. But I remember I was your intro for a while. Like me speaking to you just like I am, not telling you how much I love you, how much I appreciate you being there after DA and all the stuff that you went through. And I was your intro for a while. I swear, I was literally the intro. My word. Long story short, here we are, about 12, 13 years later. I had no job. I had to move in with the in-laws. I saved up. Now I got a great job, my own house. I'm making six figures a year, and I get to listen to you in the evening. Aww. In place of DA and the mother. And I love it. Thank you so much for still being here.
Oh, of course, Eddie. Well, we're glad to keep you company. Glad that we could be kind of a soundtrack as you were finding a new direction in your life, and it's good to hear that things are so much better now.
So much better. My kids, my son is 17 now. My youngest is 13.
Aw.
They're great. I'm great. Life is great, and I love to get to listen to you. But about the Warriors.
Yes.
Part of me tonight was like, what else can the Warriors
Oh, no. Wait, start over. Sorry, we lost you there for a second. What else can the Warriors what?
Well, part of me tonight was like, what else can the Warriors add to the resume of all their list of accomplishments? And part of me tonight was like, you know what? If we lose this game tonight, that's all right. We're going to be the first team in NBA history to come back at being down 3-0.
Mm.
But I'll take the victory tonight, and I still say Warriors in six. How you feeling?
I'm not real confident in the Warriors' ability to play this way on the road. That's the part that bothers me. I know that they weren't blown out in either of the first two games, but the turnovers mount on the road. Now, if they can take care of business in game number four and get on the road and not turn the ball over, so limit the turnovers to under a dozen, say. I mean, what was really impressive tonight is that even after they turned the ball over, they didn't give up a lot of points off those turnovers. So they turned it over a dozen times but only allow 7 points, which means they're hustling back on D. Steve Kerr went with a smaller lineup, really, other than Kevon Looney. But I think it was Jordan Poole that started in place of Draymond Green. And so I like what they were able to do. I don't love this brand of basketball with the 50 three-pointers. And so I'll be anxious to see Draymond back out there. They got to figure out a way to play better defense on the road, too. They can't give up the kind of points that they have. So they've got to show me something away from Chase Center.
They're going to show it. I promise you that. Listen, I got to go home right now and rewatch the game. I watched the game at a comedy club. It was a 420 comedy special Warriors watch party.
Ooh.
And as much as I was watching the game, I was also drinking and partaking in the festivities. So I have to go and see exactly what happened tonight. But that was a no doubt win tonight. I love you. Thank you so much, Ayla.
Okay, good to talk to you, Eddie. Thank you for your phone call. We're, again, glad to have been keeping you company for such a long time. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Yeah, Steve Kerr, he had a couple of different points of emphasis in this third game against Sacramento without Draymond Green.
In the first two games, we didn't rebound, so we didn't complete the possessions, and we turned it over, so they scored a ton in transition. So tonight was about taking care of the glass and taking care of the ball, and our half-court defense was really good. Our guys were playing with a lot of energy, and eventually, you know, that's going to lead to offense, just getting out in transition, and that we finally broke through offensively in the second half. But the game went the way it did because we took care of the ball.
The game went the way that it did because we took care of the basketball. We have a listener who is with us on a pretty regular basis. Her name is Donna, and she often sends me either videos of animals or cool posts that she sees on social, things that make her laugh. So she sent me this quote that she saw online somewhere from Steve Kerr, celebrating the lack of turnovers. "I'm going to have a margarita, but I was going to do that anyways." All right. I mean, whatever floats your boat. But yeah, the joy for Steve Kerr is in seeing it play out. And we know this is one of the best home teams in the NBA. They have been over the course of this run. That's not a big surprise. What I need from them is to be able to do this on the road. Okay, so here's the disparity for the Golden State Warriors. Are you ready? They were 44-38 this season. All right, 44-38. Okay, so they managed to stay out of the play-in tournament. They were the number 6 seed in the West, had the same exact record as the Clippers, but did not win the tie break with LA. So they could have been in the 5 spot. Instead, they're in the 6 spot. All right, so here are their numbers, home and away. Are you ready for this? Home, 33-8. No joke. One of the best home records in all of basketball. Do you know they have a better home record than both the Bucks and the Celtics this season? Not by much, but a better record than the top 2 teams in the East. So actually, better record than every team in the East at home this season. The only teams that had a better record at home in the West were the Nuggets and Grizzlies, top 2 teams in the conference. So it stands to reason, even before I tell you their record away from home, you know it was bad. Because they were only a handful of games above 500, and yet they were 33-8 at home. Are you ready? On the road, 11-30. I mean, that's, I don't think there is a more stark contrast, home and away, for any team in the NBA. For the most part, now they finished winning 8 of their last 10 games, so they finished strong. But you know, for the majority of the season, we were talking about them with single-digit wins on the road. Single-digit. This is the defending champion with a championship pedigree. The core that's still the same. Same coaching staff, same philosophies. What the heck happened this year? They turned the ball over. Their defense stunk. And even when they played several good quarters away from home, they could not play all 4 quarters with that same defensive intensity. 11-30. They lost 30 games on the road this year. Again, hard to digest. So I'm not going to get all excited yet because I got to see them do it in Sacramento. And if they don't, they're going to lose the series and be out. Are they going to get swept? No. In fact, I did think it was funny. Their former assistant coach, Mike Brown, who obviously left them after the championship last summer and then took the job with Sacramento, just was named the coach of the year. He's giggling, in a manner of speaking, about people who thought that they would sweep Golden State.
As champions, Golden State did exactly what they were supposed to do. They came home and they upped the level of physicality. They were the more physical team tonight on both ends of the floor. And it resulted in 22 points off our turnovers and 24 points off their offensive rebounds, especially with their championship pedigree. It's going to be tough to win. So you got to give them credit because that's where credit is due. And we got to watch the film and see where we can get a little bit better and come out with more physicality and pace in our next game.
Yeah, no one knows better than Mike Brown what the Warriors are capable of because he used to be on the other side with the game planning and the execution. I honestly think it's one of the greatest mysteries about the NBA this season. How could the Warriors be so bad on the road? We know how they can be good at home. How can they be so bad on the road? Yes, they had injuries. Yes, they had guys in and out. I know Andrew Wiggins was gone for, I remember exactly, a month maybe, 5 weeks. But it's such a stark contrast that I don't have a lot of confidence. I won't say any confidence. I don't have a lot of confidence in the Warriors away from Chase Center. Still, if they can tie the series, obviously winning back-to-back games before they would return to Sacramento would be a huge boost to them and their confidence. And I do think that championship pedigree is still there. On Twitter, A-Law Radio, even though the blue check mark is no longer part of our Twitter experience. And then on our Facebook page, producer Jay was able to throw up a photo from the playoff game that I went to tonight. It was, man, great intensity. But when Marco joins us, as we get to the bottom of the hour, I got to tell you the story of how I missed the puck drop. Oh my gosh. So mad. So mad. I think I gave myself a blister power walking through Newark. Just wait till you hear. We're always glad to connect with you on the phone, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. Stop it with the Tom Brady rumors. No, stop it. But speaking of rumors, have you heard the latest about the Niners quarterback situation? Ruh-roh. We've got people getting antsy. Aaron Rodgers still a member of the Packers. People are getting antsy.
Totally fine.
It's totally fine. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
You know, as we got out of the offseason or after the season, and we had a good conversation, and then we're going to have some follow-up conversations. And our inability to reach him or for him to respond in any way, I think at that point, then we just kind of had to, I had to do my job and kind of reach out and understanding that a trade could be possible.
I would say there's no hard deadline, and, you know, there's not a ton of urgency from our standpoint right now, but, you know, still very optimistic.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
In case you're wondering, Aaron Rodgers is still a Packer. It feels like a forever ago that Brian Gutekunst told us his version of how Aaron Rodgers disappeared and wouldn't respond to calls until it was time to say, I want to go to the Jets. Joe Douglas biding his time as the GM of the Jets. Yeah, here we are. We're inside of a week to go until the first round of the NFL draft. It will be completed this time next week. And Rodgers is still a Packer. So people are getting antsy. They're starting to make up potential wrinkles and starting to envision what might happen if Aaron Rodgers does not go to the New York Jets. In fact, a New York radio station, which is our New York affiliate, WFAN, got a couple of guys. You may recognize their names. Tiki and Tierney used to be here on the network. Now they're part of the New York affiliate. Tiki Barber, former Giants running back, he's actually coming up with a new idea and a new plan for Aaron Rodgers. So, and because he's a former Giant and doesn't really care about the Jets fans' feelings, he's giggling about it. So we'll get to that after the bottom of the hour. But I mentioned this Tom Brady thing. Oh my goodness. Such wishful thinking. So Tom Brady is now living in Miami. And you may remember the whole tampering thing with the Dolphins, right? He did a global technology conference in South Florida. And the MC asks him about him coming out of retirement.
Spending a lot of time in Miami. Now you call it home. By chance, is there any chance that you're coming out of retirement and playing for the Fins?
Oh, man. I know, honestly.
I'm just saying, you gotta...
Well, I will say, now that I'm not affiliated with any team anymore, and even though I have strong ties with a couple teams, I do have some friends on the Dolphins that I really like. So I wouldn't say I necessarily root for them all the time, but I root for my friends to do well, and several of them play for Miami.
Okay. So, in other words, did not answer the question. and trying to be fun and keep the conversation going and blah, blah, but never actually addresses whether or not he would play again, only pivots. He's so good at that. He's so good of stepping out of the pocket when the pocket is collapsing.
As far as I know, I don't know everything.
So, in other words, no, Tom Brady is not playing for the Dolphins. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. So Marco's here in studio. Okay, so this is what happens on my way to a playoff hockey game. All proud of myself. I've got the dog taken care of. I'm on time. I get on the train in my town. I go about four stops, and I'm actually texting. I'm not paying really any attention to what's happening, but I hear and feel that the train just went completely quiet. So we're at a stop about, four stops from my town. And all of a sudden it just goes completely quiet. Now, every now and then you'll hear it kind of powered down when it stopped for a second, but this was like all of a sudden it's dead. There's
lights go out.
Everything went out.
Okay.
And so you hear people now starting to say, the train's kind of quiet. And I'm thinking, oh yeah, waiting for it to restart, waiting for them to fire it up again, waiting for it to move, none of that. So 3, 4, 5 minutes go by, people start to get off because they're nervous. Now, the train was loaded with both Devils and Rangers fans. So they're all, a lot of them wearing their jerseys, coming from my county, heading to Newark. People start to get off because they're freaking out because it's, I would say it's about an hour and 20 minutes before game time, before puck drop, maybe, hour 20. And so people are starting to get nervous. They're piling off the train. No announcement. 5 minutes goes by. 10 minutes goes by. Now I'm starting to get antsy. So I get up and I walk outside. I don't see anyone. I get back on the train. I see one of the officials and ask him what's going on. He's like, I don't think we're moving. We're going to have to put you guys on the other track. So track going the opposite direction. They're going to stop all the trains to that one, bring in the next train that would be coming behind this one and pick everybody up. It's not that easy, though. So 10 minutes go by, 15 minutes go by. He makes an announcement. We're making everyone pile off the train. So a bunch of people go to the Uber area, probably 100 people. Mm-hmm. So it's dumb to even try an Uber because it's going to be forever to get an Uber. But people get impatient. They think they're going to do Uber. The rest of us walk, a good 300 yards up the track because there's a fence dividing the two directions, right? We have to walk up the track 300 yards, go around the fence, turn around and come back and get on the platform on the other side. Mm-hmm. And there's old people. There's people who actually are people who speak Spanish who spoke no English. So I had to try to translate a little bit about where we were going. So it takes a long time. It's probably 15 minutes for everyone to get off that train, go the 300 yards up and come back on the tracks and the gravel. It's not like it's a smooth path or anything. People are running there. I was worried. And so finally they bring the next train in. At this time, I'm thinking, you got to be kidding me. I'm going to miss not just the national anthem, but the puck drop. I miss both of those. But when I get off the train in Newark, I have about a 7-block walk, power walking like nobody's business, like I'm in the Olympics for power walking. And I get into the arena as the puck is dropping. Don't ask me how I did this. And I get upstairs. You have to wait for the media elevator. I get upstairs. I've only missed a minute. But I now have a blister on my foot where I had to power walk through Newark. It was an ugly scene.
You know, all said, it doesn't sound like fun, but not that bad. When it's all said and done, because you're able to get there roughly for the beginning of the game.
I apologize to the media guy. I'm so sorry. You don't want to show up late for a game. It's just unprofessional. So I let him know ahead of time that I was running late because it was the train and it was not me. So, yeah, this is 11 years in the New York City area. First time I've ever been stuck on a train. And, of course, it's tonight.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah, of course, it's the night when I've been stuck on subways before, but not on a train.
Okay, all right.
So, yeah, subways.
Distinguishing between the two. All right,
subways are the worst.
I was going to say, because subway, you take it enough, you're going to be on it.
You're crammed in, you can't go anywhere. Yeah, that's the absolute worst. But there was no point. I briefly considered getting an Uber home, and then I thought, hell no, I paid for my train ticket. They're taking me somewhere. So, yeah. Anyway, so that's what happened my night. Now, would you like to know where Bob was tonight?
I'm curious, yes.
Well, can you take a wild guess? So just to set the scene.
Not at the Prudential Center, I'm assuming.
No. He's in Texas. Okay. So he's in Houston. My brother is visiting Houston. So guess who invited Bob over to meet my brother for the first time?
Your mom?
Yes. So I'm at a hockey game, stressing out, trying to get to the hockey game. my boyfriend is meeting my brother and hanging out with my mom and her husband. No, I did not feel left out. Yes, I felt so left out. My mom doesn't bake. She made dessert for him. What? When I show up, there's no dessert made for me.
Apparently she likes Bob.
Well, Bob and my brother. So my brother is there too. So is that a little weird? Do you think I'm being kind of a girl that I felt so left out? My boyfriend's meeting my brother without me. It was a little weird.
No, it doesn't seem strange. To be honest with you, I wouldn't have allowed it for me.
You wouldn't have allowed it?
No.
What does that mean?
That means if my mom would have said someone that I'm dating is coming over to meet my brother and sister and my parent, I'm not there. No.
Well, my mom already knows them. Remember, she's the one that introduced me to him.
Okay, but still, I wouldn't.
Yeah, it was a little odd.
Yeah, no, wait till I'm there. No.
It was a little odd. It's just that because we all live in different places.
But it is a little different because she already knows him.
Well, and my brother, I really wanted him to meet my brother. And I wanted my brother to meet him because my brother keeps saying to me, I've never seen you this happy. And so because of that, I really wanted them to meet. Now, here's the kicker. Are you ready? Bob, wait, first of all, do you recall what Bob and I did on our first date?
Fishing.
Okay, right.
Fish police.
Yes, but not the fish police.
You had to get a license for the fish police. Yes, I remember.
There were no fish police around.
I remember.
So Bob and I went fishing on our first date. Guess what Bob asked my brother to do on Sunday?
So they're going fishing?
So they're going on a date. So so I said to Bob later, wait, is that weird that you took me on a date to go fishing, but now you're taking my brother fishing?
Wow. So everybody likes everybody. This is good.
No, it's good. I mean, I really want, these are the two most important men in my life.
That's good.
And so I really want them to have a friendship.
That's good.
And my brother was very excited to see him and meet him. It's just, I'm feeling a little strange about the fact that there was all this fun being had and meanwhile,
and you were on a train that
there.
Wasn't moving?
Well, and I mean, I miss him, but everyone else gets to hang out with him. That's just not right. And now everyone's going fishing without me. Yes, I'm feeling very left out.
Understood.
All right.
Understood.
So, if I just up and disappear and move to Houston, will you understand that? I'm not doing that.
Sure. I would understand.
No, I'm not doing that. Someone's got a mortgage to pay. That would be me.
There's got to be an affiliate in Houston, right?
Well, there is, but Producer Jay is here, and the show is not as good remotely. Well, remember I worked from home for 2.5 months. It sucks. How long did you work from home?
They made us stay home for like 2 years.
They didn't make us stay home for 2 years.
It was a little
anchors
different.
They did?
Yeah, it was a little different from what you had and what we had. Yeah, from what they were kind of telling us to do and what they were telling you guys to do. It was a little different.
I was the first one back here by far.
I know, but you're also forgetting about the social distancing. Like if you were in the studio, I wasn't supposed to be in the studio. So the anchors weren't supposed to be back with the host back. So the host stayed out for however long they stayed out. Everybody was a little bit different. But the anchors, they were telling us, like, no, because if somebody's already in the studio, you can't be there. So where am I supposed to go? And I had to bounce around from studio to studio because we were doing different jobs. So it was more difficult for them to figure out what to do with us. It was easier for them to tell us to stay home.
They finally let me come back in early July of 2020 because they were tired of my emails to beg to come back. I hated working from home. Hated it. And so they finally let me go. I was the first one here by months. Our boss, Mark, at the time said to me, don't tell anyone where you are. It's like, I think they're going to figure it out, but okay.
Yeah. I mean, again, there was so much that nobody knew what was going on. It was such a weird time. So,
that's one way to describe it. So anyway, Bob and my family are getting chummy and I'm trying not to feel left out. Will you be my friend so I don't feel left out?
Was I not before?
You are my friend. Okay.
I was going to say, did I miss something?
Remind me that you're my friend so I don't feel left out.
I'm right here.
True. Right. Okay, thank you. I feel better now. I've gotten that off my chest. I don't know if Bob's going to hear this bit, but now he knows or will know.
Now you got to find out what goes on the fishing trip.
I do. The funny thing is, after he left my mom's house, I got texts from my brother and my mom and Bob.
That's exactly how it goes. Yeah. And they're all going to be slightly different, I would imagine.
Oh, yes. They were definitely different.
Slightly different.
It was pretty funny, actually. I do want them to get to know each other, so I'm just going to have to suck it up. It's all right. It's going to be fine. Totally fine.
You're much better at this than I am. So you're game for all that.
This is the first time I've ever done this, so I don't know. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. The Niners rumors. Who's starting rumors?
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Really excited about where Trey is at with his progress from his injury. He's been working really hard, and you know, love the opportunity to be able to bring in Sam Darnold and his skill set. We think it's a really good fit. I think Brock has earned the right with the way he played that he's probably the leader in the clubhouse at that. You know, I'll let Kyle make those kind of decisions, but I know when we talk, I think Brock's probably earned that right to be the guy. If we were to line up, he'd probably take that first snap.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You may remember those comments from General Manager John Lynch of the San Francisco 49ers about a month ago, but things have changed. And while John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan aren't necessarily acknowledging that things have changed, we know that teams are reaching out about potentially trading for Trey Lance. But here's the other kicker. Brock Purdy may not be ready. Brock himself is indicating that he may not be completely ready to play football in 2023. Recall from the NFC Championship game against the Eagles in January, he waited a long time for the swelling in his elbow to go down, and then he had what's known as a UCL repair on March 10th. So initially, there was talk about 6 months, but now the team is backing off of that and isn't putting any timetable on it. But Purdy just said on Friday that he's still in the early stages of his rehab and that even though it's going really well and he was able to avoid the Tommy John, he doesn't know whether or not he'll be able to play this season. Ruh-roh. This is a team that definitely has championship aspirations, and last year got to the NFC Championship game again, second straight year, but this time it was with three different QBs. Jimmy Garoppolo's gone. Trey Lance was injured all year. Brock Purdy's hurt now. They bring in Sam Darnold. Aaron Rodgers is still a Packer. This was kind of fun. So Tiki and Tierney, Brandon Tierney, Tiki Barber used to be hosting together here on CBS Sports Network. Now they are on our New York affiliate, WFAN, and Tiki's trying to freak out Brandon Tierney, who's a Jets fan, with talk of Rodgers too. The Niners?
There has been this little inkling of an alternative for Aaron Rodgers. As Brock Purdy is saying, he's not sure he's going to play. So if the 49ers move on from Trey Lance, Aaron Rodgers actually going to the 49ers as opposed to the Jets has some validity. Because if the 49ers trade Trey Lance, and again, the clock is probably off on him because they like Brock Purdy better. If they trade Trey Lance and Brock Purdy isn't available to play this year because of UCL surgery, Sam Darnold is not. I promise you, is not starting for the 49ers. They will go get, and they're okay to mortgage their future because they don't care. They're not worried about losing their jobs. They've done it before. They've gotten to the championship game. They've gotten deep in the playoffs, right? This team will go get Aaron Rodgers if he's available, and the Jets, the premise that we started this with, will be stuck sitting out in the cold with their underwear on, and that's it.
Okay, I could have done without that visual imagery, but that's Tiki Barber, former Giants Pro Bowl running back, attempting to rile up his partner, Brandon Tierney, who is a Jets fan on our New York affiliate. The reason we play that is because there are more and more people who are willing to speculate about the future of Aaron Rodgers and the fact that the Jets could be left out in the cold. I've even seen columns about what do the Jets do if the trade is not consummated. But I'm going to take it bigger picture. What do the Packers do? They have to find a trade partner. They are not going to bring Aaron Rodgers back to the Packers. They don't want to pay his salary, or at least all of it. They need to know what they have in Jordan Love, so they would have to find another trade partner. The Niners are in the Bay Area, which is where Rodgers is from. I mean, they could have had Tom Brady a couple of years ago, but they apparently rejected him in favor of Jimmy Garoppolo. I mean, they did go to an NFC championship. Of course, it was the Bucs who won the Super Bowl. Would they take a flyer on Aaron Rodgers? The problem is, what do you give up? The price may not be that high in terms of capital going to the Packers, but the price, the actual price tag, can they afford to pay Rodgers the $50 million that he's due in 23? Things that make you go,
How many f-ing narratives?
Lose my number.
Don't make it up. Okay.
Now, see, here's the thing. I wonder. I'm not sure how much control Aaron has over it. Maybe a little bit. But if the Packers get desperate, they're going to have to find a home for him. Remember how in the 2005 draft, the Niners were choosing number one overall, and they passed over Aaron Rodgers for Alex Smith, and Rodgers dropped and dropped and dropped all the way to, I think it was 24th when he was selected. Would he want to go play for the Niners now, even though that franchise could have picked him number one overall in 05? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.